Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. Music is the great uniter, an incredible force, something that people who differ on everything and anything else can have in common. I don't usually start episodes with a quote, but this line from Sarah Dessen's book, Just Listen, really captures the essence of today's episode. If you're a fan of live music, I want you to think about the last time you attended a concert or a music festival. Think about the artist you went to see and the experience that you had. Now, I want you to try to recall the accessibility supports or accommodations that the venue offered. Most of us will struggle to think of examples aside from the separate wheelchair accessible seats. So let's talk about that. In today's episode, we spent some time with Sean Satterfield, who is hoping to change disability inclusion within music festivals. Sean is the founder and president of Shine Music, which puts on the Shine Music Festival, the world's largest universally designed music festival. Drawing on her experiences as a frequent live music attendee, Sean was inspired to create a festival where everyone can enjoy music together. One of the key features of the event is the lack of a separate ADA section, instead allowing all music lovers to enjoy the festival together. Sean also brings in different community partners, emerging technologies, and other accessibility elements to help create an inclusive and welcoming atmosphere. As a fellow live music lover and an obvious lover of all things inclusion, I'm really excited to share this episode today with you. So, let's dive right in to learn more from Sean. Welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking all about Shine Music Festival, an inclusive and accessible music festival based in Colorado. And we're joined by Sean Satterfield, Shine Music founder and president. So Sean, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks for having me, Katie.
I'm so excited to talk about the festival. What was the inspiration or story behind the creation of the music festival and its mission overall of inclusivity?
Live music's my happy place. It's my therapy. It's where I've met the majority of my chosen family, including my husband. I met the guy who ended up marrying us in line at a fish show in Vegas. Fast forward to 2013, and he officiated our wedding ceremony. You know, it's just when that music from the stage combines with the energy from the crowd, and that magic bubble of community happens, it's the absolute best feeling. And I just feel like all people should have access to that magic.
I think that's a great perspective. And I also love music festivals as well. That's why when I had heard about the Shine Music Festival, I was really excited to get to talk to you, because I had noticed that in my own experience with concerts and music festivals, that there is such a barrier to access for those experiences. I wanted to open up and ask, what are some of the barriers that people can typically face for our listeners who might not know or may not have been to a music festival when attending a festival? What are some of the issues with accessibility and things like that that typically can occur?
Well, the physical barriers of an ADA section, to me, actually kind of prevent people from being part of that community. I can't go into that fenced in area and they can't come out. And so there's no sense of community. They're just not included in that. I have to admit, you know, I went to probably over 700 concerts before I noticed, right? It took a long time for me to just stop beating myself up for not recognizing it sooner. But once I did recognize it, I had the choice, like we all do when our eyes are open, to close them again and pretend like we don't know, or to keep them open and do what we can to make a change. You know, the thought of not having access to all the amazing community that happens. Live music is a unique situation. It's the only place and the only platform where nothing else matters. right? You can have just as great of a conversation with a guy sitting next to you at an Iron Maiden show as you can at a Billy Strings concert. We're all there for that collective experience. And so I spent 6 months probably saying, why me? And then I learned my life lesson. My life lesson is, how about we change that to why not me? And then taking that on and doing what I can to break down these barriers. And I figure like I'm the perfect one to do it. At first, I thought I wasn't. I'm not in the music industry. But then I realized, no, I'm the perfect person to do it because if I can pull it off, there's zero excuse for anyone who is in the music industry putting on festivals and any live music events. There's no excuse. It can be done.
And you set a really great example with the festival for how a space could be more inclusive because you're right. The ADA section in so many venues and everything is just like this separate entity all by itself. And it's so restricted.
You get to bring like one, maybe two people with you. And when I noticed it, I think I had like 35 friends with me. And I was at a Snoop Dogg opened up for Dave Matthews, which that's a whole nother a whole nother conversation. Not sure who put that together, but here I was. Not only did I have my friends, but I met a bunch of new people, and yet there they were, you know, in this section that was completely sectioned off. And some people, I think, look at that and go, oh, look, they get the front row or they get this prime seating. Most people don't understand all that it took not only to get to those seats and the chaos in the ticketing and the restraints and how, you know, people that shouldn't be in those sections are using those seats. There's just a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I think the casual festival or music goer just sees it and says, man, that's awesome. They get those front row seats. Yeah, with one person. And usually they're exhausted mentally by the time they get there from all the hurdles they had to go through just to get there.
Oh, yeah. The one person rule was so crazy to me. Like, pick your one friend, just one. You only get one. That's it. Everybody else can have as many as they want, but you get one. So unfortunate.
And what if you want to bring your friend and not your spouse? Now you've got
You get to
a
pick.
whole nother argument on the table. So I'm like, instead of opening up those tickets that weren't sold to the general public, how about letting people bring more people into their space to share in the groove with?
That was one of the things I really liked when I was reading about the Shine Music Festival, the focus on bringing everyone together instead of having those kind of restrictive spaces and the camaraderie of having everyone in one group together. How many years has the festival been going on? I know you just had one back in August 2023, but how many years prior to that?
I founded Shine Music in 2019, and our first event was supposed to be 2020. We all know how that story went. So this year was our third annual. Not only did we finish our third this year, we've established kind of our home base for the foreseeable future, but we're also speaking with some organizations in other states. We had some people reach out wanting us to bring Shine Music Festival to their city. And I was like, it's not about just a one-off. We're speaking with a venue right now. And I said, it's about building a relationship and trust with the community. And you don't want to have people come to your venue and see all these accessibility measures and then think, oh, great, this is an accessible venue. And then when we leave, you just kind of push that off to the side. So it's awesome because it's opening up these opportunities for us to help venues make changes that most of the time cost no money. It's real simple. And like I said, if I can do it, anybody can do it.
That's usually the biggest pushback places give. They're like, oh, it's so expensive to make all these changes. But what are the changes and things that you've done that really anybody can adapt within their venue or space?
Well, it's interesting. There's these amazing groups on Facebook that all stemmed from the lack of communication from venues. You know, Bethany, the surfer who lost her arm, she said a great quote that says, we don't need it to be easy. We just need it to be possible. And by making it possible, it's simply communicating. If they know what to expect, then they can prepare and have a great experience. But what we find is that no one answers, you know, have you ever tried calling a box office? No one answers that phone. It's
It's
I
true.
don't even think it's a real phone, to be honest. I think there's like no plug, like it's a phone number, but there's no phone plugged into that jack because no one ever answers that. And so what they've done though is they've created these Facebook groups where people can communicate about their experiences. And so Goose in 2019, very few people knew that they existed, right? I mean, they were the buzz of Peach Fest, right? And that group, there's some fans that created a Facebook group. I think it started like April 1st. They already have over 300 members. These are just Goose fans who are like, hey, I'm going to the caverns. I'm going to the Hampton Coliseum. I'm going here. And everybody's like, I've been here. And so as I've been in this group, just really learning from them because nothing for us that's not with us, right? I don't just sit here and make the plans of what I think Shine Music Festival should be. I take the feedback from the community. I just launched just a few weeks ago Live Music Notes, which is a website. It's participant based. So they go in and fill out a survey on a venue's accessibility and give it ratings, and then we post it. So communication, that's free. It's free. You just need to communicate. And then things like, we learned a lot also from Coldplay. Coldplay was really an interesting initiative. I was watching Saturday Night Live and I saw Coldplay on there, and their ASL interpreter was on the stage right next to Chris Martin, not off to the side, like part of the band. And I was like, wow. And I noticed that Chris would sign a word here and there. And I went on their website and I found they have this whole, in addition to their eco-friendly tour and all these initiatives they have, they created this entire accessibility initiative. They partnered with Culture City for sensory bags and sensory nooks. They provided touch tours for blind or low vision to go in, let people who are blind or low vision into your venue 15 minutes ahead of everyone else so they can kind of get their bearings around where they are before the crowd gets there. Again, doesn't cost you anything. I reached out and they were amazing and like, how can we support you? And they ended up donating four tickets to their sold out Rose Bowl show that was in September. And Fandium did a great sweepstakes for us to raise money. And so it really aligned. In addition to that, one of the things that I like the most about Shine Music Festival is that we find these innovative technology partners that sometimes have never even thought about their device being a benefit to the disability community. So, like Clean Robotics, they have this big trash bot. I went to a festival and I was trying to do the right thing and figure out where should my trash go into. And I'm trying to read this and I'm like, I don't know where this plate goes. And meanwhile, people are just walking by and just throwing stuff in, whatever. And I'm like, well, now it's all ruined anyway. So then you just throw it in there because once people throw the inappropriate thing and the wrong thing, it's all broken. The whole process is broken. And they created this trash bot that has one hole. You put your trash in there and AI sorts it. And I reached out to them and they were like, oh, it's a huge device. It's like it at airports and stuff. And then it was like the next day, the CEO or founder contacted me and said, I got to admit, from the moment I thought about this, I never realized that our device made recycling accessible. It takes away the language barrier, it takes away any, learning curve. And they even thought, okay, well, let's add Braille to it now. Let's re make the size like 2 inches lower. So we're changing the world that way, even though, they were just looking at it from trash. And we had X-ray glasses this year. Oh, this was so cool. Have you heard of these things, X-ray glasses?
I have explained it for my listeners who may not have heard of it because they are very cool.
Oh, like I broke down crying. It was so amazing because it just talk about removing barriers. But these glasses, you put them on, and through this app, that not only, even if you don't have the glasses, the app, if you happen to be deaf and having a conversation with someone who isn't, you could use this app for it to translate, like the captioning. Well, the glasses, you put them on, and as you're talking, if you had them on and I were talking, what I was saying would be closed caption across the bottom of the glasses. And we tested it to see if it would pick up the lyrics from the stage. And it did. And it was awesome. Not everybody knows ASL. Not all people who are deaf use sign language. And maybe they don't want to be up front. So they were able to like stand in the back and listen to the music, and any of the lyrics were going across the bottom of the glasses. Ah, it was amazing watching people try them on and just realize how many barriers that broke down. And people cried. People were overwhelmed. There were some people who I saw who try them on and they took the glasses off and tears were streaming down their cheeks. It was so beautiful. It was so amazing.
That's such an innovative way to use that too, because like when I had heard of them, it was just for a conversation. I didn't even think about the music component. That's great because even just closed captioning sometimes doesn't pick up the words correctly because it's singing and not just spoken language. But that's great that they could just read it across the screen. That's so easy to provide as an option to someone.
You could just buy a couple of those glasses, then have it at your venue, right? And it's there. Or even having QR codes. Not everybody knows. I think there's a misconception that just because you have a disability, you know about everything that's out there for you. And no, people don't. That isn't the case at all. But what was great is X-ray glasses never thought about it from a music perspective. So when we reach out to them, they're like, wait a minute. We didn't think about that. And so that's why they came and we tested it out on our Acoustic Avenue stage. So it's outdoors, it's not as loud, and it worked great. One of the things we were able to provide feedback on was integrating a Bluetooth technology, or even some of our other adaptive technologies connect right into the soundboard just through an XLR connection. And so that way it could be connected to the vocal mics. And then it would be clear. So, there's a lot of those options as well.
That's awesome. That makes a lot more sense. Then you really could have the choice of being wherever you want in the venue and still have the accuracy of the lyrics without having to worry about some people want to be up close, some people don't. So it gives you that
Yeah.
flexibility then.
Oh, and if you're in a huge festival and you're in the back, just even as someone who can hear, I can't always understand those lyrics. So, expanding that technology to incorporate Bluetooth. I just feel like we're so close on the edge. It wouldn't take a lot of tweaking to take the technology that we have with like X-ray glass and bring that full circle to a 100%. I thought about it like the captioning on the phone, but then I was talking with an event producer and there's like, yeah, and then you've got people on their phone and it's distracting to everyone around them. And I'm like, I don't know about you, but have you seen videos? Everybody's got their phones up in the air. So I think it's kind of a moot point. I don't agree with that argument,
Everybody's
but
got their phone
yeah.
out.
But it also solves the problem of ASL interpreters aren't always available. However many cities and towns there are all over the world, there are not always ASL interpreters to be hired, especially music ones, right? They're different. They're different than the corporate interpreters, because they got to incorporate that feeling and that vibe of the music as well. I love watching me use Flow Interpretive, and she does Ween's interpreting, and I just love watching that. I think it's so beautiful. But these glasses would break down that barrier of if an interpreter isn't available, here's another option. It's so duh. And every day I come up with a new thing. I see something else and I think, oh, if we implemented that, and then half the time the inventor or the company never even thought about it in those terms.
And that's a great way to think about it. So when I was looking at all the technologies that you were bringing into the festival, I was like, oh my goodness, this is, it's perfect. And there's so many tools out there that, like you said, they're not thinking about it from an accessibility standpoint, but it is making things more accessible, whether or not they realize it. Correct me if I'm wrong. You had like a special floor too, right?
Yep, Feel the Beat. They're a whole dance studio that the floor has bone conducting oscillators underneath it. So through vibrational energy, deaf or hard of hearing dancers, they're mostly little girls in their little ballerina suits. It's completely silent in there, and they're feeling the vibration through the floor. When I met them, they had just created a portable version of it. At the time, they had never been at a music event festival before. So we had them at our very first event. It's also wheelchair accessible, so you can get up there, and it was connected directly to the soundboard. So the music, the vibration that was happening on the floor was from the stage. And it was awesome. Full body sound was another device that, again, they had looked at it from a standpoint of the guy who invented it is actually a rocket scientist, like, not a joke. That's what he does by day. And he's just a genius. And he got injured in a ski accident and was using a TENS device for muscle therapy and got bored with it and took it apart. And I think the first prototype that he created was like out of an Altoid box. I'll tell you, one of my most favorite things to do is I ugly cried. I don't know if you saw that video. It was not good. They wanted to capture my very first time trying it, and they asked me to pick a song that meant something to me. And I picked Glory by Humphreys McGee, which I walked down the aisle to. And I cry usually when I'm at a show and they play that anyway. So I don't know why I picked it. And that was the first mistake. And as soon as it happened, it was uncontrollable sobbing. And I said, okay, well, we got to redo that. And they're like, no, that's it. Not only was it beautiful because I now experience something that I get to hear, that I'm so grateful I get to hear all of the nuances of that song, but I was able to somehow experience it energetically through my body. The whole song and every little note and everything all was somehow inside me. And it was overwhelming, beautiful. And then I realized, wow, like if someone couldn't hear it the way I can, instead of just feeling the bass coming from a speaker, they're also able to have all these nuances somehow portrayed in an electrical manner. I'm not a rocket scientist, so I can't describe it, but it's just absolutely beautiful. I did come up with a really great idea, and I came up with it too late for this coming up year. So we're kind of hoping to get everything established so we can launch it going forward. It'll be at 2025 Shine. So at universities, their engineering departments have sponsored a student project. And so I was talking with CU, for example, and I said, I'm looking at it from not only would we want to do this, and she's like, well, what would you want them to do? I'm like, I wouldn't want to put barriers. Like, we're not about barriers. So I would just want your students to say, how could we take a live music event and what kind of technology could we bring to allow people to experience music in new ways? Our goal would be to have two every year. And then we would showcase them at Shine. People would vote, and the winner would get a Shine Empowered trophy for their school. And there's a bonus to it. Do you see what the bonus is? The bonus is these engineers are going to graduate from college and they're going to go out into the real world. And when they start creating devices or technology for their companies they go to work for, they're going to be thinking about inclusivity and accessibility. That's how we move the needle. So it's a win-win. Let's just invent new ways. That's what I'm super excited about.
I love that so much. Anytime that you can impart that understanding on somebody before they go out into the field, before they've got, stuck in their ways in a job, that's perfect. I love that idea so much.
It's so fun, and it lines with I learn something every year, and then it just kind of piles on to something I've learned before and takes it into a new light. And I think one of the things was, how is this changing the world, right? And in 2022, I had someone send me a message, and he started it by saying, please read the whole message. I know how this sounds, but please read the whole thing and don't be upset with me. And I thought, well, that's an interesting start. And what he had said was, I don't have anyone in my life that has a disability. And then, you know, of course, the button in me goes, hey, by the way, not all disabilities are visible. And he said, it's not that I've chosen not to, it's just I haven't had the opportunity to really get to know anyone that uses a wheelchair or is blind or is deaf. And he said, him and his family were at Shine, and his little girl, who was 4, found a new friend who happened to have Down syndrome. And the two of them played for hours and had the best time. And he said, she didn't know that that little girl was different than her. She just knew that it was another little girl and they were dancing and having fun. And he said, through that process, not only did you give my daughter the opportunity to see and learn and get to know different people with different abilities, but you now let me see how important it is and how much I've been missing in life by not having those opportunities. I was like, yes, that's it. That's totally it. And that's what those ADA sections do. They prevent us from the opportunity to get to know some of the most amazing people that I've ever met. So, yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect. It sums up the whole mission and the whole point.
Yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And I think the biggest misconception is that we're a disability festival. We are not. I have to tell my board that. They kind of go, oh, we need to do this and this. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. We are not a disability festival. There are already some really great organizations that throw some amazing disability festivals, and they're awesome. We are a music festival that simply makes sure we are accessible and inclusive for all.
I was about to ask you actually about different testimonials from over the years from different people, but that was a great example of really showing the impact that the festival has had on everyone.
My favorite though, in 2021, we scheduled Shine thinking we had scheduled it far enough out that this pandemic would be over. You know, we didn't know what we didn't know. And so here we were trying to plan a free community event based around live music, pandemic still going on. Denver had the worst air quality in the world. That day, the governor was talking about canceling all outdoor events on public property, and we were in a city park. It was chaos, and it was 101 degrees. It was a really stressful day. And I had went into the we have a sensory bus provided by the autism community, and I was hiding in there as it is such a great space and just so calming and relaxing, and I was just crying. I just had to go find a place and just cry. And I don't know why. You know, everybody was having a great time. It wasn't that. It was just, I don't know. In my head, it was 2 years in the making and it was a lot of stress. And suddenly I met this amazing, amazing woman. And her friend met at a blind school when they are in elementary school, and they were navigating around the whole event. And she said to me, I can literally repeat this word for word. Thank you for giving me the gift of a music festival that I'm able to navigate on my terms and my timing. And it's the first time I've ever been able to do this without the need of a sighted person. I am having a blast. And that was it. If I impacted one human being to that level, everything was fine. It was success and it was the momentum I needed to keep going.
Oh, that is perfect. I think every example you've given so far about the festival really shows that that's the whole point is giving the access that people deserve to have and often don't have with other festivals and events.
I learn all the time from it, right? You know, I'm thankful that I'm able to just to go and, you know, I've seen, like I said, I've seen over, I'm approaching 1,000 different concerts. I definitely have an addiction problem to live music, and I get to travel. I love going to other countries and seeing native live music. And the only way I know that what Shine Music is doing is right is through that feedback and through the eyes of those that we're inviting into our world that we've been able to enjoy the whole time. And this year, it was really interesting because my favorite quote of this year was, he said, "I love dancing because people get to see me for who I am and not just someone who lives with a physical disability and uses a wheelchair." He's like, "People interact with me and they see me. I'm human. It makes me feel seen." And I thought, wow, how sad is that, that you ever feel unseen? And then I realized, no, that's their life. Unfortunately, you know, I think that they get to a point where they just accept it. And I don't think they should. And so it's just a beautiful thing when you give people the opportunity, which is scary, right, though, Katie? I was a little nervous. We had our first year, we had volunteers called walkers. And their only job was to walk around and make sure that there weren't any issues.
Yep.
Like, what if someone was drinking too much and started being mean or something? Like, what happens if we actually let human beings be human and don't put restrictions and we just open the floodgates and let everybody come in? And it worked. It's worked 3 years in a row. And they're like friendships. And it's just awesome. You know, I still hold my breath every year that we might have an experience like that. My goal is that when that happens, we're able, the SHINE team, the staff, our community volunteers are going to be able to take that experience and impact in a positive way everyone involved in that situation. That we're able to show the disability community that we are true advocates, that they don't need to stand up because we're going to stand up for them right now in that situation. You're in our backyard. We're going to take care of this. And then for that individual who just perhaps will give them the benefit of the doubt that they didn't know what they didn't know, that we're able to use it as a learning experience so that when they leave, they never again make someone that has a disability feel the way they did. So as much as I'm hoping that day never happens, I'm also ready for it because I'm ready because that's where you really make change. The people who don't want to make those changes, and then you're able to just flip it.
That's great that there haven't been any incidents because I'm always the cynical of some people are pretty terrible. So it's great that you're prepared for it in the off chance that it does ever happen. It seems like such an inclusive vibe overall with everybody involved that like they would be significantly the outlier in acting that way or treating.
I think the whole vibe of the space is I think they would instantly know that their actions or their way of being doesn't really fit with everyone else's. But you know, it is a festival and you know, people drink. And we did have someone one time who kind of represented the neurodiverse side of music as a therapy for that, but they also were the sober environment and they didn't want to have people drinking next to them. And I'm like, okay, so now you are trying to put your beliefs onto someone else and you're trying to put a barrier around another person. We're barrier free here. And instead, what we did was we thought about it and we're like, you know, we have our sensory zone areas, which tend to be very family focused. The kids tend to gravitate to those spaces naturally, which is weird because sensory, you think that that's a calming area, but the kids seem to just naturally go there. We let everybody go wherever they want to go. And most people who are drinking aren't in those spaces, right? Sure, yeah. There may be a dad or mom or a parent might be having a drink or something, but there's no one getting out of control. So, you know, we just kind of like, hey, there are plenty of places throughout the whole SHINE environment for you to enjoy the day and not be standing next to a whole bunch of people who are hammered. But the answer of removing one cage is not putting a cage on someone else. Sometimes is the most difficult thing, you know, of how do you navigate a space that's really, truly inclusive for all. We've so far been able to figure it out.
Sounds like it, definitely.
So I saw that this year's festival is taking place August 24th. I know it's pretty early in the planning process, although I'm sure you've obviously already gotten started. But what can attendees expect from this year's event?
So one of the things that we implemented this year was a music therapy section. And it was beyond our, we couldn't believe how successful and how much everybody loved it. It just had all these different instruments that were donated, and it really wasn't structured. There was someone there who was kind of running, and there were some music therapy therapists that were there, and people would just kind of come up, and it's mostly like dads, you know, picking up a guitar. They're all kind of jamming out, and the kids are playing on the xylophone or banging on the bongos. But then members of the bands came out and they were playing. It was just a really big success. So what we're going to do for 2024 is add additional instruments, but we're also going to bring in adaptive instruments. So instruments that have been adapted to allow for individuals with mobility or whatnot, the ability to play them. So we're going to bring in a variety of those. We're going to have maybe some more scheduled actual sessions. So people know that, hey, we're having a 30-minute of community talk. How did you learn to play? That organically happened this year. So they would play for a while, and then they'd all just sit on these pillows and talk. We just want to really expand that out, make it a bigger space, and provide more instruments. We are going to add an additional sensory zone. So we had smaller zones inside and outside, but we're going to kind of maybe enhance those more and make them a little bit bigger, as well as we provide sensory backpacks that have headphones or earplugs, fidget spinners, just kind of things to help navigate the day. We want to kind of add some more of those. If you're not going to live music a lot, you don't know if you have a child that headphones are like the best, you need to have those. So we would see little kids and like, hey, did you want to have headphones for your kid, and hand them out and let them use them for free. We did implement x-ray glasses this year. So we're looking for a new technology to feature this year. Kind of come across really cool earplugs that seem to be getting some pretty good hype, mostly the neurodiverse community, where it funnels out background noise, kind of doing some research on that. And I kind of thought maybe it would be a great way to be a marketing, like, let's test it out. Let's see, did they work, and get everybody's feedback on, hey, are these good earplugs for whatever purpose? Are you using them to protect your ears? Are you using them to kind of drown out the background noise or whatnot? And we're also going to expand. So RealWorks is this amazing venue that has 2,600 capacity indoor and a 300 capacity outdoor. Mm-hmm. And then it's the whole length of the block. So we're going to close off the street there. And we're going to expand out and move all of the vendors to the street so that we can add additional seating to our acoustic avenue area and expand that music therapy section and probably add another stage then to the outdoor. It's a new community. It's the Rhino River North District in Denver. And we have always been a part of the community where we were. So this is our opportunity to expand it out, and it's free, and allowing the local community to come in, get to know more about us. We want to make it our home, and we want them to see us as part of their community. Oh, and we finally, you know, you get statistics, and 3 years in a row, we've seen that from 12, our event runs from like 12 to 9. And it's a long day, but we find that the community partners, meaning individuals that identify in the disability community, and families are the ones that come from 12 to 4. And then there are hardcore music lovers, right? They usually show up 4 to 9. And so we are going to pivot our entertainment, our talent lineup, to line more with those. We want to engage like School of Rock, Rock and Roll Playhouse, right? I know that I heard there's a young, I think he's 13-year-old DJ that's local here. And he sat in with a house music guy at a venue this year. And I thought, man, it'd be fun to have a kid DJ, right? And so we're going to kind of also experiment with navigating that a little bit more and really highlighting the day to be focused more on the people who are in attendance at that time.
Sounds like there's a great plan going forward into this year.
I have all the plans are in place. We just need the money to pull it off. That's really where we're at right now. You know, everybody's struggling right now. It's a tough time, and we understand that. And so asking for money from individuals, they've always kind of came through and supported us, but we're really looking for those corporate sponsors. It's a great opportunity to get in front of a very diverse group of people and show your support for what an inclusive and accessible world looks like.
I did want to close off with, that was my last question actually, what are some ways that people can support the festival this year or just Shine Music overall? I know you'd mentioned that people can donate. Is there other ways that they can contribute and get involved? We have listeners kind of spread out all over the world, mostly in the US, but pretty well spread out across the country. How can they get involved and help out?
That's a great question. There's so many ways you can help. So obviously financial sponsorship, whether it's an individual donation or sponsoring a particular area. So like the music therapy section, right? It can be ABC companies, you know, JoJo's music therapy session, whatever it is. Volunteers, if you're local, whether you're experienced in the disability community or not, there's plenty of ways that you can help out. We also are looking for, like, for example, the earplugs, right? I hesitate to say their name on there, but it's like, how about you provide us with some of these earplugs and we'll test them out and we'll give you great feedback from not only a music festival, but from a sensory perspective. I was in the market research world. I know how much that kind of market research costs. So I think it's a great win-win opportunity, but there's just so many ways. Just like our event, we don't pigeonhole the way people can help us either. You know, tell us how you want to help and we'll work that into our plans. You know, help on your terms.
And I'll make sure to link the website and everything in the show notes so anybody listening can just hop right into there, and we'll promote it on social as well. So if anybody's listening, check it out right there.
And we are a 501c3 nonprofit, so all of your donations are tax deductible.
Always important to mention. Always good for people to know. So I just want to thank you so much, Shawn, for being here with us today and telling us all about the Shine Music Festival and Shine Music in general and all the work that's being done to make music and concerts accessible and inclusive. I learned a lot and I appreciate you being here with us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me and helping us spread the news.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembly and Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.